Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio, the world's largest social network reaching listeners not only locally, nationally, and imagine reaching listeners in any country in the world. Discover what the world has to say. By the click of a button, you will be connected with stories that it will just grab your attention, and you'll feel that you are part of it because, you see, we're all in this together. Welcome to the NATO Summit. Notable authors together optimize. It is my pleasure to welcome and introduce Greg Phillips, radio personality extraordinaire. Hello, Greg.
How are you, Kathy?
I'm just extraordinaire. How are you?
Doing well today. Doing well. A little chilly, a little snow by my location, but it's that time of the year, so we're fine.
Now, all of you know that Thursday is dedicated to the contributing authors in choices. Awe-inspiring choices revealed by successful entrepreneurs introduced by Kathy Watson. And get your pen and pad out. You could order the book at www.authorhouse.com. Now, today, Greg and I, we're going to share with you stories of incredible entrepreneurs who survived the deep expanse of the unknown to reach the unreachable stars, standing on top of the mountain, holding everything they dreamed up right there in their hand. Viva Reviva, from humble beginnings to success. Now, in the 1970s, that was an exciting time in my life. I knew early in my life we had to get older, but did we really have to age? Looks mattered then and still do. By a twist of fate, I was introduced to Reviva skincare products and Steven Stressler over 35 years ago. It's more like 40. To date, Reviva is my choice in skincare. Oh, the results are amazing, and Stephen and I have lasted longer than most marriages. But that's a good thing. Mr. Stressler, this is all about you, your story.
A real interesting gentleman here as we start from the beginning on his choices and follow him to where he is today, Kathy. Stephen Stressler was born in South Philly in January of 1931, an area of the country where many things would come from in later years, so big in the music industry, I might add. Mm-hmm. It was in the middle of the Depression, 1931. His parents, like most in those times, were humble immigrants who knew really no luxuries, but through hard work and living within their means, they set up strong character and work ethics for their sons and daughter. And pausing right there to note that the work ethics have, in my opinion, have changed, and it's something to really pay attention to as you're forming your children's lives through the years. In those days, people had a different set of work ethics that I think maybe exist today. They believed in hard work. They believed in if you wanted something, that's how you got it. You worked for it. There was no give-me's in those days, and it was a very tough time. Jobs were hard to find, didn't pay much, but you had two choices. One, you either did it or you didn't, and if you didn't, then you failed and went by the wayside.
And may I do a sidebar?
Fact,
I'm sorry,
sure.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
A sidebar. Greg, my mother and father, Ma Pawn and Pa Pawn, came to this country at the turn of the century, and they went through Ellis Island. By the way, they came to this country the right way. And I could remember growing up And I'm looking at these two people and all of the people around me, and I thought, oh my goodness, they looked 50, 60 years old, and they were only 30. But there were two things that were important to them, their work ethics and keeping the family together. Now, Ma Pawn was a natural nutritionist. We never had fast food. We never had any junk. And I'm telling you, even though we did protest, I have to thank her for her brilliance. She was way ahead of her time. And Ma Pawn, his work ethics, second to none. And you know, you see, they're role models, whether we want to agree to it or not. We didn't understand what a role model was. I didn't understand at the age of 7 when I knew I didn't want to grow old. But I followed his pattern. And he would say, Katica, that's Catherine in Croatian, if your work isn't done by 10 in the morning, you have wasted your day. And to this day, 10 o'clock, I'm like freaking out. I have to finish. I have my goals. I have my passion. I have my work list. Let's get on with it. So I have a feeling that with Stephen Stressler and his mother and father, they imposed those same ethics on their son and daughter. And it holds him in good stead today. Because I do want you to know that Stephen is an octogenarian. And I just talked with one of his associates in New Jersey, and he comes to work every single day. He is hands-on, the CEO of Reviva Labs.
Yes, he's 81 years old, Kathy, and we'll point that out, just what you said here, as we push on here, that he is still very active at his age of 81, that the values that were instilled by his parents as we begin here would pay great dividends. Great dividends.
Hmm.
So Strassler quotes, "We grew up poor in South Philly, but my friends and I never knew we were poor." So true. When you live in a certain lifestyle, you think, well, everybody lives like this and everything's okay, but not necessarily so. "We grew up comparatively happy, and we were expected to be given anything without working for it. We, you know, they just had to work for everything they got, and that was just how it was, and it really how it should be. Stephen was a good student. He was active in neighborhood sports and popular in all his male high school, his all-male high school. Elected president, as a matter of fact, of the Honor Society in his senior year, and was an associate editor of the school's yearbook, among other activities." And here again, it's a great example of a good student going the extra mile, doing things other than just studying the classes that he was taking. He was getting involved in things that would affect him and form his life as he would move on to the older ages. He was an individual striving for success even at a young age, I thought, going out and doing all these extra things.
May I just reflect you a little sidebar here?
Sure.
I can remember growing up, if you didn't have the money to buy something, you just didn't buy it. You had to save up. And that, I really feel today, our society today, our world is so in debt because of the easy credit that they get. And what was instilled in us was, if you don't have the money, you're just not going to buy it.
Now, there was no MasterCard.
Yeah, you bet.
No MasterCard in those days. And, you know, to show you how the pendulum has swung before we quickly move on here, is that I've worked in an industry for many years that you couldn't even find help that you needed because the parents didn't want the children to work. Unheard of in our day. Unheard of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at this point in time, Mr. Strassler needed to supplement his father's income. You know, in those days, that's what you did. Dad works in a clothing factory, and instead of going to college now, this is an important why on the road, Stephen got a job. Instead of doing that, he got a job in an advertising department of Pep Boys, and at night attended classes at the local Charles Morris Price School of Advertising. And he had a second job, and that was a copywriter in the advertising department of Strawbridge and Clothier, Philly Department Store. So as you see, here's a young man he had to help out the family. He had decided, well, I can't go to college. I can't go to Harvard for 4 years and do nothing but study. I've got to work and go to night school. Very difficult thing to do, to have a full-time job, go to night school. And in his case, he had a second job. So he had two jobs and going to night school. Very difficult to do. And I know a lot of people in this day and age say, well, I'm going to return to school. But I'll tell you what, the older you get, the more difficult those things become, because, you know, your life is so full with family and so forth. And if you have a job, you go to night school. Some people do it, but it's very, very difficult. And it's difficult for him, but, you know, look what he did, two jobs and night school. So right there shows a good foundation that he had. In 1952, so we're moving on here now, he's going to night school, two jobs, but in 1952, in those days, we had what was called the draft. And that's when the Army called. The Korean War was going on at that time. So he was drafted into the Army, and Stevens spent, well, from 1952 to 1954, so a couple of years in the Army Aviation Engineers. They were attached to the U.S. Air Force. Strasburg's Army job at that time now was Information and Education Specialist. Now, for 6 months of his tenure, he was stationed in two Caribbean islands, so not bad there, two Caribbean islands, where his battalion built airstrips for guided missile bases. So he was spending his time in the Army and learning and continuing to do things. Strassler was conscientious and overly industrious. He invented an uncalled task for himself, conceiving and printing on a mimeograph machine a two-page newsletter about battalion activities. Now today, 58 years later, he claims that he has no idea how he was able to print the Rock News, it was called, and he had another one called the Island Breeze. Both contain some pop art illustrations. So he was in that business when he was serving his time in Korea in the two Caribbean islands during the Korean War. As we move on, while finishing his last 6 months of Army duty, he was a corporal, Corporal Strassler, was asked by a major who self-proclaimed he was not as good a writer as Stephen to compile an important classified report for Washington, D.C. What was it on? It was on the aviation engineers' activities in the Caribbean and Alaskan airstrips. Corporal Strassler at the time collected all the data, compiled, and wrote the classified report. After his discharge, he was notified that Washington headquarters considered the report so excellent that his major recommended him for the Commendation Ribbon Medal, awarded to him a few months after his discharge. So we see up to this point, we have a fellow who's got a solid foundation from his childhood, good work ethic instilled in him, and a willingness to succeed in the world. And it's starting to now pay off a little bit. So he's moving up the ladder, and he's got a good background to do so. So what happened then? Well, after his Army discharge, Stephen worked for various advertising marketing agencies. His title was account executive, which means basically salesman, which is a job that not all people can do. You have to have some get up and go. You have to have a rapport with people. You have to be convincing. So he has all these things. This gave him an opportunity to hone even more of his creative talents. So he moved to 1959. Stephen opened his own small agency, specializing in non-food accounts for supermarkets and drugstores and the distribution therein. Because of his success in opening up distribution in major markets or small manufacturers, he had another idea. He decided in 1963 to create his own private label brand of aerosol products. However, here we go, his creativity was matched by his inexperience in financial matters. His choices at this time did not serve him well. Extending credit in the pricing of the aerosol products forced him to close his ad agency, Aerosol Company, in 1965. And he went to work in New York in another city agency there in New York City.
Okay, sidebar.
This is an important thing. Yeah.
Greg, isn't this interesting that all that we're hearing about Stephen, you would never, ever, ever conjure up that he would wind up in the skincare industry. Because in the war, he was writing for the Rock News and the Island Breeze, and he was a good writer, so on and so forth. But at no time in his earlier career did we see an indication of where all of this was going to take him. So I really believe in serendipity. Because he said the best movie ever made was to move to New York. And then what happened?
Well, that, and I want to point out one other thing about this little, this was a little glitch in the road for him. He actually failed at something. Well, is failure bad? No, not necessarily. In fact, failure is, you define yourself by, if you fail, picking yourself up and moving on. And that's what he did. He admitted that he had done something that wasn't profitable for himself, and then he said, well, I've got to do this, but I'm not gonna lay down. I'm going to move to New York, and I'm going to get going again, which is exactly what he did. So failure can be a good thing at times. So he even says it was the best move ever. In New York, he was made account executive on a national cosmetic account. This is where he realized America's focus was on makeup, not skincare. At that time, Christine Valmy opened America's original esthetician school in New York City. Ms. Valmy was the first to teach skin physiology and train students to perform scientific facial treatments in salons and address individual skin problems. Stephen recognized this new focus on skincare represented a marketing opportunity for him. So what did he do? He enrolled, and after a year, Stephen became one of the America's first licensed male estheticians in the country. Only three males were in the day and evening classes. Stephen's goal was to utilize special skincare knowledge and to market a line of skincare products. So another idea had come to him, and he's going to have a marketing opportunity. He recognized it. It's important that he recognized it and its potential for him to move on. But here again, he had an idea, and let's see if he would have a plan. Traveling from Philadelphia to Europe, he selected specialists from 10 different manufacturers in three different countries. Why? Because America, he found, was far behind Europe in recognizing the value of high-potency skincare products. So he knew where he had to go. Through his European-orientated esthetician training, he learned of various French skincare manufacturers who produced private label products exclusively for Europe's well-established skincare salons. So he found a niche that maybe wasn't being filled in other areas. So this is when he traveled from Philadelphia to Europe. He selected specialties from 10 different manufacturers in three different countries there, so he did a little work. With knowledge and foresight, Stephen started the Reviva skincare line. So the beginnings now have happened. The uniqueness of his natural ingredient product line was slow to develop in skincare salons, so he changed the strategy and shifted to health food store distribution. Reviva promoted itself as the United Nations of skincare discoveries. Now, here's an important little note on that you have to be able to do this, especially when doing your own business. If you find something's not working, you have to have the ability, the flexibility to shift and be able to change. A lot of people don't. They think that their way is the best way.
Okay, and Greg, change is constant. But you need to recognize that you have to shift your strategies to accommodate the change. And that's what he did. Because when he traveled from Philadelphia to Europe, he did select specialties from 10 different manufacturers in three different countries. Knowledge, visionary foresight. I don't know how he got the name Reviva, but the uniqueness of his natural ingredient product line was slow in developing in skincare salons because, you see, America is not as fast, they're not as swift as the French were. So he changed, he knew that he had to change. He knew that he had to shift his strategies So he did. He strategized to the health food store distribution. And Reviva promoted itself as the UN United Nations of Skin Care Discoveries. Instead of competing, he joined the movement. And he kind of shied away from the makeup, because what good is makeup if the skin care isn't there? Because if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you look good. And then what happened after that? His innovative and futuristic abilities evolved as a result of working closely with European skincare chemists, enabling him to introduce several new concepts to America.
Indeed, it did. And so we see where his flexibility to change is going to do him some good. Reviva mm-hmm. Lab was the first in the U.S. health food stores with three or four of the following here. Important to note, no animal testing. Reviva set up a panel of salons in which product safety and performance was tested directly on salon clients rather than on animals. Exfoliation with its light skin peel. Neither U.S. skincare companies nor dermatologists were talking exfoliation in those days. So he was there again, maybe ahead of the curve. A non-drying approach to treating acne or blemished skins was a focus for him, and topical trace minerals as a catalyst for absorption. So those four things are now, you know, set in his sights.
Well, you see what happened. I'm sorry, go ahead. What most people don't know, this guy was, he had so many epiphanies, but it didn't frighten him. And if you notice, during his entire autobiography, at no point did he say, I was scared. I was afraid that I might fail. When he decided to go into the specializing in non-food accounts for supermarkets and drugstore distribution, he learned from it. Because if you don't make a mistake, if you don't stumble, how are you possibly going to move forward? In today's society, it's been my experience. Well, I tried it, and it didn't work. I guess I wasn't supposed to have it. They can't see the vision. They can't see it in their mind's eye. So he simply closed up and said, well, I did learn from it. Now I know what to do. And again, serendipitous, the move to New York. But he made all of his little boo-boo steps that he took, they were in his favor. And I honestly feel that people today, they're here, they have a dream dancing in their heart. They want to stand on the mountaintop like Stephen did, but they're afraid of the abyss. If you don't have the abyss, the unknown, how could you possibly move forward? Now, no animal testing, I can't imagine in the United States that there were a panel of salons in which product safety and performance was tested directly on salon clients rather than on animals. I wonder what his dialogue was to a client or to a customer and how he approached it. Mićmo vidit. In Croatian, that means we shall see. I'll have to talk to him about that.
And yeah, that would be interesting to find out.
Yeah, the exfoliation. You see dead cells form on our skin, and if you don't melt them off, then any of the skin products that you're putting on your face can't go anywhere. It's like when you wax a floor, there's wax buildup. And in those days, neither U.S. skincare companies nor dermatologists, I don't even know if they knew about exfoliation. And then the non-drying approach to treating acne or blemished skin. Where did he get the ideas? In his mind's eye, wouldn't you love to have been a spectator just to witness his thinking? And the light bulb goes on and he says, this is what I need to do. So what happened when he was moving forward?
Well, as we move forward, more firsts were developed, of course. And we can see this, Mr. Strassler is a good fellow for firsts. He's a thinker. They were developed in 1979, for example, where Viva was the first in America now, including the entire cosmetic market, to introduce elastin ingredient to aid skin firming, along with elastin, I'm not sure the pronunciation on this, hyaluronic?
Hyaluronic and glycolic acid.
Were introduced in health food stores. So that was the first there for them, too. Steven Strassler, Reviva, added their own chemist who had special knowledge of natural ingredients and introduced specialties to broaden the line. So he's thinking again that I need somebody, you know, and some he's thinking, you know, I can't do this all by myself. I have to hire good people around me. And that's a mark of a successful person that does that. So he hired his own chemist. Reviva's claim to fame, specializing with brown spot products, antioxidants, collagen fiber, and eye treatments, including dark circles and helping with eyelids, high potency in anti-aging serums, including essential fatty acids for thinning skin, and the new Swiss Apple Stem Cell Serum. Now, stem cell, of course, is really big in the health news these days, but back then he had already had an idea about using stem cells for his products. Reviva Labs, in its 39th year, kind of summing up, is established as one of the leading natural brands in health food stores nationally and continues to distribute the Reviva products, the brand to, over 1,000 skin salons nationally, plus distribution in 12 other countries. Pretty good, huh? So he's now worldwide. Stephen is recognized, of course, as an innovator, a visionary, and a marketing pioneer. Stephen now is, he's 81 now, and he continues to work 5 days a week, paying homage to his passion and his desire to seek out the latest in skin science and to slow or even reverse the signs of aging, as well as addressing individual skin problems. So that's where he's at, and he's you can see from his background, instilled at a young age, a work ethic that has carried him through the years and with a successful company.
Viva Reviva! Now, you do know you're listening to Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio, the world's largest social network, reaching listeners not only locally, nationally, and internationally. The show is archived. A few minutes after we finish the show, we've got about 2 minutes and 18 seconds, I want you to log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/Kathy, CathiWatson, /Kathy Watson, and click on February 26th. Now, what you do, you take this link and you will forward it. It's a great marketing tool. You will forward it to your email database and ask them to forward it to their email database, and so on and so on. In a matter of minutes, 5 to 8 minutes, your show, your story, Stephen's story, will circle the world. How sweet is that? Now what, this year, 2012, in the year 2012, he made a strong financial contribution to New Jersey's Marine Mammal Stranding Center that saved injured seals. He made a contribution after their funding was cut off by, guess who? Washington. And he also also co-sponsored a special star-studded Habitat for Humanity event benefiting relief efforts in Chile after the earthquake. Other contributions include free vitamin E sticks to soldiers in Iraq. Log on www.revivalabs.com. I salute you, Stephen. Absolutely inspiring. So if you're there just whining about that you're not living the life that you want to live, all you have to do is log on authorhouse.com, get the book Choices, and read the stories of these celebrities in their own right. Greg, we have 10 seconds.
Thank you very much for having me. Enjoyed it.
It is my pleasure. Again, until we meet, remember to always be in your best elements. Au revoir.